Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Oh, I am telling you what is up this week is New Year's Day. I hope that you are having the most magnificent end of 2018 and crashing forward into 2019. Jeez. I cannot believe a year has gone by. Brady Wright, of course, as you are probably well aware, our master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne has taken New Year's off. He's spending some time with his family, as he should. And Steve, the producer, Johan, is here with me, and you know what? We've done this before.
Oh, I think we've done it, yes.
And I want to say right up front, Happy New Year. I hope that you're doing something wonderful with your family. And if you're listening to this on New Year's Day, stop, go have a drink, enjoy something.
That's right.
We're going to be on forever. You can get this show anytime.
That's right.
So I know that there's stuff going on because Steve never is without tactical and technical and topical information.
I like that. Tactical, topical, technical,
and yes.
Oh, man.
Alliterative are us.
Tactical makes a lot of sense because you have a... We're not going to go down that side of things, but you've got a good history in the tactical area.
Well, we all have other lives.
Yes, we do. Well, here's something I did come across is that by now, automakers, it seems like that not only automakers, but everybody that drives an automobile has got a smartphone. And
Some of the phones are smarter than some of the people.
It's smarter than me in some areas. But the fact is, do you have an option to put your fingerprint on your smartphone?
Yeah. Most of the higher end and top end smartphones have a finger identifier, a print thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to call it, but it's that.
Well, it's now going to be entered into the automaker world.
Biometric.
The same direction is moving in with the automobile. Hyundai is pulling out off the wraps for their all-new 2019 Chinese version of the Santa Fe, where buyers in that market will be offered the ability to equip their SUV with a fingerprint recognition system.
Oh, instead of the fob?
Yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
Literally, you put your finger right, you push a button on the console that can lock or unlock the vehicle while also starting the vehicle.
So you're not loaning your car to anybody, apparently.
Well, it can be set up for multiple users.
Okay, all right.
But it's interesting because it used to be back in the day, you just pushed a starter. You pushed a starter button on your car.
On the floor.
Now, it's going to have your thumb or whatever finger you choose to think. My question is, do you use your finger right now, your thumbprint or whatever, to access your phone?
No, I don't. But that's just because it's my one act of rebellion against technology.
I
said to heck with it. I am going to punch the stupid buttons, and do that.
Funny you should say that. I feel the same way.
I don't know. It's just.
I have my, my fingerprints are probably somewhere in the system. But the bottom line, I don't want.
It was that one evening in Tecumseh, California.
Yeah, Bellingham, Washington. Anyhow, the idea of using a thumbprint to start your car, I guess I'm just, lock it up and hope for the best like I do right now. I don't want to put my thumbprint or my fingerprint to start a car.
I understand the reluctance on the technology. I kind of get that piece.
Yep.
But, there's a lot of guys who have 96 Honda Accords who would say, geez, if only there was some way somebody would not steal my car, again this week.
Well, you could do...
There's some benefit.
You could do an eye retina scan. That would be another one.
See, you're right. And I know that that's a thing. That makes me more nervous than
fingerprint. Oh, have you ever seen that Tom Cruise movie?
Well, the whole idea of staring into something that's basically a low-power laser.
I know.
No, I am not. I know it's safe.
I don't want that.
I don't want to do it.
I don't know if it's safe or not.
Well.
They take a picture every time I go into the eye doctor. They do a mapping thing.
The government has enough electronic data
enough,
on
that's
us.
That's what I'm saying. So anyway, I'm hoping that, for all those who want to do it and use your smartphone that way, good for you. Not me, not for Brady.
Well, I don't even lock my phone. So that's some people have passwords.
Either.
Like, if you want my phone, take it. There's
Someone
nothing in there.
Someone took mine
there.
And
I
did
don't
cost
care.
Me some money. But, yeah. Well, the other thing is... big news for California bus drivers.
Oh.
As a way for California to keep its place as the leader of clean air initiatives, the California Air and Resource Board, CARB, voted to fully transition the state's public bus fleet to an electric power by 2040.
Yet another way to screw people out of money.
I know. The unanimous vote makes California the first state to sign up on such a commitment. The mandate requires the state to replace more than 14,000 buses with zero-emission models by 2040, basically 21 years.
So 21 years worth of taking money out of the tax rolls to do something.
God,
come on.
I'm.
But, you know, California does lead the country in that kind of thing.
They are
one of the most onerous legal country states in the entire country. Everything down there seems to be, if you pay attention to the news, seems to be about another way for them to get tax money out of the citizens.
Well,
I
it
can't
is.
Imagine moving there.
Now, interestingly enough, I was watching somebody speak who really knows his stuff, and he was pointing out that all the climatology and all this stuff, that there are numbers of Germany being one, hey, we're going to put all these windmills, we're going to put all these solar panels, and guess what they found out? They don't generate enough electricity. They are now going to be putting in coal-fired plants, gas-fired plants, and nuke plants, because they've discovered that after probably hundreds and hundreds of billions, because they paid people to do this.
Oh, sure.
After 3 or 4 years, they couldn't afford it anymore, and they can't keep up with their energy needs. So they're going back to older style, which, quite frankly, the world is doing fine. Carbon footprint, the world actually designed to make carbon, to live off of carbon. Every plant needs it. So consequently, I think this idea of doing batteries. Now, I don't have a problem with batteries, but the problem is, you know how much... You know where that mining and all the stuff that goes into building these things are?
Well,
it's not very good anyway.
Well, I
digress, but here we go. 14,000 buses. Good luck on you guys in California.
As long as they can figure a way to, you know, make them chargeable quickly and have the range. I mean, a bus drives all day long. So is it going to drive all day long on one charge? Because that's what it's really going to come down to.
Let's face it, electric buses themselves used to be quite frequent in a lot of cities.
Oh, but they weren't battery powered.
No, they were truly
that's right,
electric
trolleys.
Power lines. They went across. We had them in Seattle forever and ever.
Oh, yeah.
And those worked.
Well, yeah, and even with the underground wiring, which, you know, most cities have gone to.
You track system.
You run a track, it works.
Now, if they have that kind of a plan, I think that's great.
Sure.
But if it's going to be battery, shh.
Well, this, by the way, is why we are not hired as transportation designers.
That's right.
Because right. You guys are nuts.
Well, I want wider roads around here where they're overbuilt.
Yeah, there's that.
Now, another thing. More news about faulty airbag recalls.
Oh, man, these are scary.
I know. Toyota cannot seem to shake free of a former airbag supplier,
Takata.
The now defunct supplier responsible for the largest auto recall industry in history.
And didn't we say last year when the first of these, well, the second of these big Takata recalls came out, at one show, I can't remember which one it was, but I know we sat here and said Takata is not going to survive this.
No.
And they sure
you said
did
that,
not.
And you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Well,
it's too
bad. It is. And the Toyota automaker the Japanese automaker, said they plan to replace 65,000. Toyota and Lexus vehicles in the U.S. 1 year ahead of time. But here's the thing. They already replaced the airbags once.
Yep.
We have a good friend.
Yeah, there's no mercy.
Keith, who runs a auto shop.
Yep.
And he said the reason why a lot of cars get totaled is the airbags alone.
Oh, yeah.
Because now they are responsible. If they put those things in and something goes wrong,
sure,
they are held to it. So then auto guys say, can't work on it. It's totaled.
Oh, yeah. Got to go to a dealership. And a lot of the dealerships don't want to
work
on
them.
They
don't want to work on them either.
Yeah.
Hence, you got a beautiful car that could be rebuilt, but because of those airbag situations, they won't touch them.
And if you take the airbags out, a lot of guys were doing that for a while.
Yep.
And then they realized the insurance companies won't touch you.
Oh, that's exactly right.
If you pull the airbags out, well, see, now they're not going to cause a problem and kill me. Yeah, but we won't insure you because it's not stock.
No, older cars are more expensive because they don't have airbags.
Yeah. Well,
it's just amazing. Oh, man.
It's a racket, I'm telling you.
It is. So more on that to come, I'm sure.
Well, I'm glad you stopped by. Happy New Year to you. Today's trivia question is, you'll find out about that one. Plus, we got to look back at some of the year's best shows. All of that and more on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Well, I have never been more alive either, and it's back to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the second edition. It's time for Windshield View, and this week, a look at some of the more than 30 worst, slowest muscle cars ever built. You know, we touched on this, a few episodes back.
Yeah,
and we
thought it's kind of a fun thing to mess with.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to start this thing by saying the 1976 Trans Am, the Burt Reynolds one that was used in, Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, yeah.
It was gutless, but it was a beautiful-looking car. I really liked the lines on that car.
Well, yeah, the styling cues were always good.
And it hugged
good.
The road really well.
Yep.
Now I think people have taken those things and they've blown the engine and put in really high-end engines. And you've got the best of both worlds, the classic look, but now with a really good engine.
Well, you know, you had a car like the Trans Am. It was always easy, to upgrade the motor and stuff. That was always going to be easy. But stone stock, they were not really that good a performer. They were all about the look.
But they handled really good.
They weren't bad. They
not
weren't bad.
I mean, yeah. You could do some improvements now. But you look at the rake and the way that looks. I didn't mind that 76.
It was styling wise, it was an okay car.
It was,
but you know, it's funny. You talk about 70s,
but it was gutless.
The mid 70s, late 70s were some bad years for American car performance, and the gas course crisis previously didn't help the whole matter. But when you say Olds 442, people sit up and take notice because man, that was a seriously hot piece of work. Oldsmobile had it all figured out. The 442 was gorgeous, except in 78 and 79.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the 60s, well-respected car, 400 cubic inch engine, 4-barrel carbs, dual exhaust, big block, a lot of other stuff. The name, you know, the car changed, the name stuck. But by the time they hit the 70s and the muscle cars were sort of dying off, Oldsmobile kept the 442 alive, and they lived for quite a while on the name because, you know, it was still a 442, except that by the time you hit 78, 79, it was a long ways from the predecessor.
I got to ask you, was it a real 442 cubic inch, or was that just the
Well,
moniker?
you know what 442 stood for?
No.
Four-speed, four-barrel, two carbs. See?
Okay,
so in the 70s,
okay.
In the mid-70s, the 442 was just an option on most of the mid-size luxury coupes that Oldsmobile make. You could get, you know, a 442, but it was a marketing gimmick, really. It wasn't really a full-fledged, you know, muscle car. The motors were gutless, so they tried to keep it alive, but by the time, you know, you hit the late 70s, the industry restrictions were horrible.
Yeah.
And so the low point... The low point of the 442 is 78. It was a model, an option for the smaller Cutlass. And the Cutlass was a complete toad. I mean,
That thing was a boat.
And I owned one. I'm sorry to say, I owned a Cutlass Sierra, and it was not a swell car. But here's the tragedy. You could get a car, an Oldsmobile, with a 442 badge on a V6 and a 305 V8. They had a single four-barrel. The max power on these things was 160 horse in 78 and 170 horse, though they jacked it up 10, in 79. It's about a third of what a 442 was supposed to be about back in the day.
Because are we talking competing with the Matador? Remember the
Mustang,
Matador?
The Mustang, too. That's what they were doing.
Yeah, but remember the Matador, that car?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the AMX Matador.
It was
a horrible car.
It was a horrible looking car.
And it was a horrible looking car. Yeah, it was really sad.
I remember one of the guys, one of the chefs down at the restaurant I worked at in 1980 had one of those. I'm like, looking at that thing going,
that was a mistake.
Wow, what a car.
Big mistake. That was the mid-70s version of the Edsel.
It was not a good looking car.
Well, the 442, I mean, it's sad. And to Olds' credit, they kept the name. And later, they kind of rebuilt it as a more serious performance machine. But 78, 79 were the definite low points in all of history. Oh, man, it was just too bad. But I cannot imagine a worse or slower muscle car. And I'm going to say this, and you're not even going to recognize this as a muscle car. And this would have been right in your wheelhouse, too. 80 to 85. Chevy produced a pretty interesting car, but a lot of people can't really decide how they feel about it. It's a compact front-wheel drive hatchback that was known as the Chevy Citation X11. Do you remember these things? So here's the thing. It had a sort of a hot little V6. It had muscle car looks. But, and the hatchbacks were a big deal there. In the late model muscle cars, it had some aspects of both of those things. But the Citation basically was what Chevy came out with it to do was to fight the imports.
Weren't they fighting against the Mitsubishi? What was the Gallant?
Yeah. And the Toyota, the Corolla.
Is it the Gallant?
The Gallant,
Do you remember Hunter? The show Hunter?
Yes.
Dee Dee McCall drove.
Fred Dreyer. Yeah, okay. Dee Dee McCall. Yeah,
Didn't she drive a Gallant?
She did. Yep.
Yes. And she had the sporty little car.
Right.
Fred always had the crap car.
He did. He had a beater.
And I think they took that from Starsky and Hutch because
could be.
Starsky always had the beautiful tomato car. And Hutch had the beater cars.
Yep.
And so I think
they were the ones they always crashed when they were.
Yes. Yeah. And same thing with Fred's car. And yeah. I'm thinking, okay, they took the cues from
Dreyer.
Yeah.
Well, so the X11 had a 2.8 liter V6 and 135 horsepower, and it's supposed to be a muscle car. So despite the fact it doesn't really sound like much, it actually wasn't bad power for the time, which is a seriously strange statement because
that's when the
135 horsepower.
By the way, I had a 77 Monte Carlo. I think the speedometer said 100. That was a top.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get it to 100.
Well, yeah.
It just wouldn't get there.
But it did have some really good styling cues.
Oh,
now, I don't know if you remember these things. The Citation. It had some great styling cues, had a bulged hood, had some special trim details. In the magazines, they spoke pretty highly of it. In the day, Car and Driver actually liked it. They described it as more than just a stronger engine and special appearance package. Now, if you find one of them today, first off, if you can find one, but you would actually be the owner of a pretty cool-looking, highly prized car that didn't have much in the way of guts at all. I mean, they were just not much power, except that for the day they were. But good luck finding a Citation X11. I mean, there just aren't any.
The nice thing about that era of a car is you can now take and do whatever you want with those cars.
Well, you could.
And it'll pass emissions.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, a carbureted car, before you get into the computers, you're there. There was no cat-back. There was
no
converter, none of that stuff on those cars.
It just...
Yeah.
Yeah, the Citation.
Now, you mentioned Trans Ams earlier.
Yes.
And, of course, Trans Am and Camaro are basically two sides of the same badge.
Yep.
So the 1982 Camaro, remember this one, the Iron Duke? Do you remember this model?
I remember the name.
Okay, so
in the 82, they went with a brand new body style.
They came, that was there. They had a new, fully redesigned. It was the third gen.
Yep.
And they had kind of, well, for the time, modern styling. They had, supposedly, the aerodynamics were improved.
T-tops were big.
T-tops, it was a big deal. So the new Camaro, it was new inside, had an updated suspension, had new engines. Now, the engines were gutless. The base engine was a 2.3-liter 4 that produced 90 horse.
What year was that?
82.
Wow.
And that was where they got the motor, I mean, the term, because the Iron Duke was the engine. That Iron Duke was the name of that motor. It was pretty durable motor. Of course, it was, you know, it wasn't going to push itself at all, so that's why it lasted forever. A lot of GM's later four-cylinder motors were based on the Iron Duke. So, it's got some history. But in the 82 Camaro, it was embarrassing because it had like 0 to 60 in 20 seconds.
<I know. laughs>
And do you realize how slow that is?
Yeah,
is slower.
My roommate's 76 Pacer would have outpaced
that thing. 0 to 60 in 20 seconds, that's slower than a smart car. That's slower than a smart car.
Smart car.
The Smart 4.2. It's got a 1.3-liter motor, and it's 0 to 60 in 14 seconds. So that's something.
That's what I'm saying. My roommate's girlfriend's bubble AMX, or what I just call it.
Which one?
Oh.
AMX?
No, my brain just went, it stopped.
Well, that's all right. It'll come
back. Laughing at these cars. They're just funny. God, I forgot how bad they were.
They are bad. But you're listening to some of the greatest automotive info in the known world on New Year's Day with Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Stick with us. We're going to do more.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Back in Vehicle City, my old stomping ground.
Hey,
this is
that
the third segment of the show.
Gotta bring in my harmonica.
I could do that. I bring the bass.
You got one.
In.
I could bring.
I got
mine.
Harps. Sure, we can do this.
Dueling harps.
It'll be the first and last musical show we ever
do. I think it will.
Well, we are here on New Year's Day, and I hope you're having a happy one. And if you're not listening to this on New Year's Day, never mind, because it was probably a good one. And you know, we're now in 2019.
And by the way, Brady, on the last segment, I remember the car I was trying to say.
Oh yeah,
it was a Pacer. I drove a Pacer, and I think the Pacer would have outran the Citation.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or the Camaro.
Pacers were actually pretty hot little cars.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Put that thing in low and boom. I happen to know because I was driving my roommate's girlfriend's car one night in Phoenix, and I'd go cruising on Central, and I had taken her brother And I was on Central cruising around, and I thought, let's see what this thing does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was
Wait
able
a minute.
To...
Did you say you were driving your roommate's girlfriend's car?
Yes.
Is there a story here that we don't want to tell?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
that's
we'll
exactly
move
right.
Right beyond that one.
Yeah, so you hey, just cued in on something there.
I just did. I was going to let it go, yeah. But then I thought, wait a minute.
Oh, my misspent youth.
Yeah, well. Yeah. So one thing that we thought we would do for New Year's, because it's kind of a fun time, and we have had just an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the shows that we've been able to do over the last year, and some of the guests we've had have just been fantastic. So we thought that we would kind of go back and do a little bit of retrospective of some of our favorite shows, and I'm going to kick it off by doing one of my all-time favorites. We spent a lot of time in the studio before we actually broke this show, kind of practicing up and getting ready to go and, you know, seeing what was going to work for us and, you know, where everybody was going to fit in. And so the first show we did, our actual number one show that ran live, had a guest that has turned out to be a great supporter of the show. His name was Elton Roundhill, and Elton is the owner of E Company Customs. And of course, the regular show people will know that Shane is the general manager down there, although he was not at the time. He just started working there. And it's a custom shop in Linwood, Washington. It's been growing by leaps and bounds since he first came on the show. And since then, Elton has branched out from the usual kind of custom building and mechanical work that a lot of the shops do. They branched out to metal fabrication. They do painting now, top to bottom. Top quality upholstery. I mean, custom-made upholstery up there. And complete frame-off builds and everything. My favorite current project that they just completed was this. They did an Army Jeep, a top-to-bottom Army Jeep that was built as a Christmas present for one of their customers.
Right.
And both Steve and I went up there a couple of times over the course of the build. Really a fun thing to do. And I just, you know, it kind of made me feel like starting from sort of humble beginnings, you know.
Yes.
We've managed to build the show into a top 10 show in the automotive realm on podcasts. And I kind of, you know, think of Elton as being our kick out the door.
Well, and
it's one of my favorite shows.
And not only that, they've just recently hired on a couple mechanics.
Oh yeah.
So they now, if you've got an older car, especially with a carburetor, they got guys up there that know how to work on these things.
Oh yeah. Think of this as a 10-minute commercial for your shop.
Oh yeah.
Elton will be writing us a check here in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's one of mine. What you got one? You got a favorite?
Well, you know, we've had so many, and one of the ones that I enjoyed was we actually did a two-parter, and that was with Ted Evanhoff, and
he was the
writer for USA Today.
That's right.
And this guy has lived around the automotive industry his whole life back
right.
there in the Midwest.
Right.
And he had gave some great insights into the history of Detroit, the closing of the factories, what caused it, all that. And he's an individual who is a real historian. And
yeah.
And Brady, I when I get into a topic, I tend to dig really deep and go all out. And I want to really, really learn about something specific.
Sure.
And he's the kind of guy that I'm definitely going to bring back on again in the new year because he has such insights. And I just really enjoyed his candor, his insights. And folks, the really cool thing is at our Podomatic site, horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. You can find all of our old shows.
Yeah.
And I am working, as we speak right now, I'm working on getting it so we're going to start having all of our old shows on our website. So that's really cool. And there again, you'll be able to not only hear, but also read the transcripts. So that's coming together. It'll be coming down the road here soon in the new year. But Ted was just a wonderful gentleman. And, you know, he's back in the Midwest. So he's one of our guys that we call, and they're up quite late to take our call. But I love that show. It was just
well, not
a
to
really
mention
good...
we ended up doing two segments with him.
Yes.
Because it was just that interesting.
Two shows.
And that's tremendous. And by the way, if you're listening now and you say, geez, you know, they talk to these guys, maybe I got stuff. If you want to be a guest on the show, get with us on Facebook. Let's get to know each other and see if that works out, because we're happy to talk about anything.
We've done that a couple
that
times
has
already.
To do,
yes.
Yeah, it has to do with automobile, the industry, customs, non-customs, clubs, you name it, events. We're all about that, so we're happy to have you. And speaking of that, we actually had a guest who was literally that exact situation. It was our show number 18, and it was Adam Kramer. Now, Adam Kramer had come up with a brand new cool idea called Avant, and what it is, we just before we had him on the show, it was in the early part of the year,
mm-hmm.
He had formed a membership group that you could join and then take advantage of shop space to build or work on your car, as well as you could try out other members' vehicles if you wanted test drives. Remember this?
It's like a ride share slash...
Kind of, yeah. If both parties agreed...
You swap, ride swap.
You could sort of ride... Well, you didn't have to swap, but you could.
Yep.
But, I mean, it was really a fantastic situation. I mean, where else could you test drive a Lamborghini Murcielago and a T-Bucket Roadster in the same afternoon?
That's right.
You could. And it was a matter of making arrangements with the individual people. You didn't have to let people drive your car if you didn't want to, but it was an option. And his business, since we did that show, and that was, gosh, I want to say March maybe of last year, something like that.
Yeah, early spring.
His business and that whole concept has grown and grown and grown. He's doing a ton of events and group meets. And, of course, it's open to the public. All of them are open to the public, whether you're a member or not. And it's a really interesting concept called Avant, A-V-A-N-T, and it's picking up both followers and knockoffs across the country. There's now some people who are doing that same thing in other parts of the country. And it's fascinating. We have put all of these things on our website and on the Facebook page. If you go to, if you just do Avant, A-V-A-N-T, Avant.com, you will find it. And it's just a fascinating deal. Now his location obviously is in the Seattle area, but you know there's other places that do this kind of thing. Or you know it's kind of worth it if you're coming to Seattle. Maybe you're on a vacation or business trip.
Yeah.
A chance to drive something cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's one of my favorite shows. And Adam was a super nice guy.
He was. Yeah. And he kind of reminds me of the guys that started the auto club.
Yeah.
They're down there, Seattle.
Exactly.
Is it the
right.
Auto Club that they park all the cars for
it's
people?
It's theclubs.com.
Auto
the
Clubs.
Just the Clubs.
No, the Clubs,
yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had them on just as they were
yeah.
really kind of just getting this thing rolling. And again, they've exploded too. We'll have to get them back on. Yeah, one of the other guys that I enjoyed was, of course, legendary Don Garlitz. When you can get Don Garlitz on, I don't think you were in that night, and it was just me and Shane that
night. Yeah, I was
we were able
sick
to just,
or something. I don't remember, but yeah.
We were to pick his brain, and Don is such a gentleman. He knows his race history. He knows everything, all the people from that era, and he is still going strong. I mean, he's got a museum down there in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go down there, see history, living history himself. You know, as a matter of fact, he had either Road and Track or Motor Trend did. He got to do the Dodge Demon. He took it out for
test
drive.
Sure. Well, and why not?
And why not?
Well,
and you know, he said it was a good car. It ran really strong.
Sure.
And I mean, he's in his 80s, and the Dodge Demon's great. But you know, that's Harley. He was the first to hit over, I think, 300. I mean, he was one of the first guys over 200. He's been over 300. I mean, the guy has done everything to set every record there is possibly. And what's really cool is, you know, he's in Florida, and he let us call him at night. I mean, we record this thing at 7. It was 10 o'clock at his time. He's like, not a problem. And and his wife was up still, and so it was a really good show. I just really enjoyed that.
That was a good one. I listened to that one a couple of times. I imagined to be a fly on the wall during the conversation at Mopar when they said, so we want to do some promotional test drives for the Demon. And we got a couple of people who have, you know, names have been mentioned. Well, you know, this isn't a car that we want just anybody to drive. Well, the one name that came up was Don Garlitz. Okay, let him drive it. No problem.
Yes.
we're okay. Yep, that's fine. Fine.
Well, and you know, he probably makes a little bit of money for doing that, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy has been doing this.
Can you imagine building a car, though, engineering a car like that, and, you know, releasing it to the public and saying, and test driven and approved by Don Garlitz? Well, okay, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I don't think we have anything else to worry about.
And speaking just as a sidebar, the launch of the Demon, 2018, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And if anybody had any doubt that muscle cars were back, erase that doubt. They are back.
And then on top of it, what you can get now, what is the cool motor that you love so much?
Well, the Hoonigans.
No,
yeah.
The big monster you can order from
Mopar. Yes, the Hellephant.
The Hellephant.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hellephant.
Is it over 1,100 pounds?
It's just
idiotic.
Oh,
my gosh. We are
almost 1,100 horsepower.
We are now in So 2018 was a very good year.
Oh, yeah.
For
oh, yeah.
output of horsepower.
Yeah. No, and it doesn't show any signs of showing up either. It's just
no.
slowing up. It's just going to be magical. Well, you know, speaking of hot rods and hot cars, one of my all-time favorite shows, and I seriously, this has the distinction of being our single most downloaded show.
Wow.
Okay? And everybody who's had even a small interest in cars and hot rods and anything like that is probably familiar with the song Hot Rod Lincoln.
Yep.
We're fortunate enough to have, as one of the friends and contributors actually to the show, David Dickinson, who's the compiler of the old Car Nut books. And if you've spent any time listening at all, you know. And the cover story on book two is the actual story of the Hot Rod Lincoln itself and how the car, both the car and the song, came to be. And Charlie Ryan, of course, the writer. The story is considerable in length. I mean, it's, you know, several pages. And it's actually, since we do one of those stories every week, you know, for the most part, it's too long to read in the segment that we have. So what we did was we asked David, can you come up? Can you be a guest in the studio? And would you please, would you read the entire Hot Rod Lincoln? And he did.
Yep.
And he came up and it took three segments because that's how good a story it is. And, you know, David, he doesn't make any bones about being the writer or anything. He just told a story that was told to him. But and it's too long to go through now. But I will say that show itself, we put it on in the spring of 2018 of last year. And David came on the show, did the entire story, and it is the single most often downloaded show in our catalog. It gets more hits on Facebook than any of our other shows. And I'm telling you, I mean, it's New Year's Day. You're hanging around. Maybe you're into the second, you know, rum punch or eggnog. I don't know what you're doing now. But if you got 15 minutes, go pull that show out of the archives and just listen to it. Yeah. It is a really, really tremendous story. It's a great song. We brought along the original Hot Rod Lincoln song. There's
That's
about
right.
nine versions of that song that charted, and the one that we played during that segment on the show is one that Steve said at the time, I'd never heard that version.
That's right.
Because it wasn't the big hit. Johnny Bond had the big hit, but this one, and of course everybody knows the Commander Cody version and everything else. This was the original Charlie Ryan version. It's a little different than you would expect.
And if my recollection is right, it was in the Northwest.
Yeah, Charlie lived in...
The whole thing took place in the Puget Sound.
Well, yeah, South Sound, yeah.
But it's in
it's
our
here.
Neck of the woods. It was in was in this area up here in the Puget Sound, and you're thinking, that is history.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, not only did we have Jimi Hendrix, but we had the story of the Hot Rod Lincoln.
Yeah.
And the
Charlie lived here when they did the song. However, the story itself is about a race up the grapevine, which of course is Bakersfield.
That's right.
But he just made according to the story. Well, I'm not going to spoil this for you.
No.
When you hear the thing, you'll find out why he chose the grapevine.
Right. That's right.
And it's just a fascinating piece. And like I say, it's one of our most popular shows. I would listen to it again just for the heck of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. When I, in all honesty, because I produce shows, I did motorcycle shows for 11 years, and I've done this. By the time I'm through doing the show and I've produced it and you know, done what I've need to do and upload it, I move on. And I tend to be that way with pretty much everything I create. I'm a creator. I just move on. I don't want to look at it again, see it again. although I do, I have to admit, I like listening to the music I did create with the different bands I was in the past. But when I'm sitting here, occasionally I'll pop on one of our things. And within 5 minutes, I am grinning from ear to ear going, darn, you guys are good. Oh, that's us.
Oh,
wow.
I see.
But the bottom line is...
How much have you had to drink when you're doing that? Because there's some of these shows are not, well... I'm just
And it's just that kind of humor because...
Well, it's because it's fun to do.
It's fun to do, and none of us take each other seriously or ourselves seriously. We just
not
have a lot
much.
Of fun. And but we take our subjects serious. We do enjoy everything about cars. We work really hard. And one of the individuals that I really enjoyed was just a most recent one was our Christmas with Chris Palmer. I'll tell you why. Hot Wheels is just a huge part of my growing up. And probably the golden years of my youth was those innocent years before you broke into your teens and things went kind of sideways. Those Hot Wheels years were some grand time, some best friend time.
They were superb.
And
that was
so
a really, really great
it
show.
It was.
And it's recent enough in the archives that you can get to it. Hey, you're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world, Horsepower Chrome and Rust. We will have more next.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and now it is time for, well, it is time for the old car nut book, yeah. Where Brady spends some time telling us and sharing some really great stories, and as we said on the other side of the break, you know, the old car nut book has been a wonderful, you know, to be honest, I didn't know we were going to do this as part of the show when we were sitting down as planners of the show. And Brady says, you know, I'd like to try this. And after one time, like, this works. And so it's what sets our show apart from everybody else's is Brady spending time sharing old stories from the past. And old car nut book, and we've got other books eventually we'll move into. But
sure. Well, I have to say nice things about week. David. I mean, I called him up ahead of the show and said, can we take this and read some of the
exactly.
stories? Sure, you know, because he's not silly. But he's just managed to put together a bunch of terrific stories here. And he makes no bones about the fact that he just published the books. The stories come from, you know, all kinds of individuals who share them. And this one is one of those stories. This one's by a guy by the name of Ron Limbrick. And Ron wrote a story called Some Shortcut. And here's how it goes. As I recall, our first trip to Grand Rapids, Minnesota was in 1987, or very close to it. Several car friends had been talking about this beautiful little town in Minnesota that hosts two car shows on one weekend, which was always the last full weekend in July. The first time attending was in the motorhome that I'd built, and we parked amongst the huge white pines that the area is noted for and the fairgrounds camping area. One of the shows, hosted by an antique car club, was located at the local fairgrounds, a truly beautiful setting on a grassy area overlooking a small lake. There was a swap meet associated with that show at the fairgrounds inside the agricultural buildings in some of the open areas. The local street rod club hosts the other show, which is on a Saturday only. It's an event that's been held at various venues over the years, and it includes a wonderful sit-down chicken dinner at the end of the afternoon trophy presentation. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, during the years since our first trip to Grand Rapids, I had bought several hot rods and brought them to the show, and I can only recall missing one year due to an illness. We've made a number of Grand Rapids friends over these many years, and it's always wonderful renewing these friendships at the local Dairy Queen. It's a great gathering spot, and after a long day of checking out the old, neat cars, their owners, and discovering treasures at the swap meet, I always enjoy time spent with my good friends Bob Bass, my B-engine builder, and his co-pilot Marie. Now, as we come and go to Grand Rapids, the Nanny Buju is a favorite spot to have a meal on the North Shore in Minnesota. The Nanny Buju. I don't know the name of that place.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, however, the last time we took the 39, it decided to take a little different way home. It was sort of decided to take the scenic route home for a change, as we never have taken it. Now, it cuts out Duluth and angles southeast towards Lake Superior. Now, I think I'd heard that it was a shortcut. A shortcut.
We know where this is going.
It was a shortcut.
Yes.
The road was very acceptable, and it took us through Iron Range towns like Hibbing, Virginia, and Ely. As we left Ely, the road was very winding and narrow, a motorcycle rider's dream. After driving on this beautiful scenic road, we unexpectedly arrived at a road closed sign and an arrow pointing to the left that read, Detour. Gravel road, next 25 miles.
Ooh.
This is never good.
No.
So we'd come way too far on this so-called shortcut to turn around, so we forged on in the little 39 on what appeared to be a seldom and badly used logging road. Luckily, there was very little traffic other than one heck of a large logging truck in a great big hurry, and after what seemed like an eternity, we made it to the end of the detour and back onto pavement. As it turned out, the only damage done to the car was at one of the events in Grand Rapids where a kid on his bike ran into my rear fender and left another blemish on the old girl. We got home without any more excitement, thank goodness. All in all, it was another very nice weekend, which I think goes to prove that getting in the car and hitting the road can always be a new adventure, even when you're going to a favorite old place. Just be careful of taking some shortcut.
I can say for sure that having been on many road trips where we're doing huge amounts of distance, that we have encountered various detours.
Yes.
And what I've learned is, yes, I always have, well, you don't sometimes have the fuel you think you have, and you get to some of these things and you're like, are we going to get off of this thing? Are we going to get off this? We did. There's the gas station. We're running on E at this point.
Yeah, they'll find our bodies in
20 years.
Oh,
my gosh. But other than that, typically the detours make for some grand times. And you might be an hour later than you plan to be. But you see, when you're on a dirt road, you're seeing area that you're not going to normally see.
Oh, yeah.
And it usually typically makes for a great part of the road trip.
You know what I always wish that I had done when I've gone on those types of shortcuts?
Right.
I wish I'd brought a flatbed truck, because you almost always run by something that, oh man, if I could just pull that thing out of the weeds.
Oh.
You know, find some car, some truck, some antique something out there, and you
get it. When we've done, even up here, we've learned to use Google and Apple and all these, depending on whose phone, and you start using the Detour apps, and we've started relying on them because it does save us time. But we go all over, and you're like, am I saving any time? Am I saving? Well, yeah, we saved 25 minutes. Well, it was worth it, and we kept moving. But you go behind these farm areas, and enough, out there behind the old back, you know, the old barn, there might be a half of something or an old car parked there forever.
Well, speaking of shortcuts, I'll give you a tip. If you're listening to this on New Year's, here's something for your New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
There is a ghost town tour that you can take in Central Washington. If you're out here someplace and you haven't tried this, just Google Central Washington ghost towns. And there's about 8 of them. And none of the roads are major roads. It's out in the weeds. I mean, the biggest town you'll start in is Wenatchee, and that's not a huge town.
No.
And it goes out into the weeds from the farm country from there. It's really kind of cool.
Wow.
We went through, let's see, there's 9. We went through 6 of them one day. It was an all-day deal. I mean, it took us forever.
Do that on your motorcycle?
No, we were in the car that time.
Okay.
We ran into a bunch of off-road guys out there, though, on bikes.
Right.
And I can see why they took the off-roaders, because I was glad not to be in an old car, because, you know, we took the Mazda and it's all-wheel drive,
right.
So it was a little easier. But it's a fun trip. It's really gorgeous. And I'm thinking there must be ghost towns in many states, you know,
right,
not just Washington. But it's a fun thing to do. If you know, wait for some decent weather, make sure you take a case of water and an extra can of gas. And just go explore. It's always fun.
Wow.
It's half of why we have cars in the first place.
Did you do it in a full day, or did you stay somewhere and come back?
We were already in Wenatchee, so we got up early and did that, and then went back to the hotel and stayed there and then came back home. So it was actually a 3-day weekend for us, but it was kind of unplanned. We just said, yeah, we'll do it.
How far is Ellensburg from Wenatchee?
It's a ways. Because
you're up, and then you got to go down to go to Wenatchee.
It's another highway. You're probably 80 miles. Eh, maybe 100.
That might be something to plan out with the kids.
Yeah, it's worth doing. Seriously worth doing.
Well, there's Ginkgo National Park that's over off of Highway 90 that's down by the gorge.
Right there by the Columbia. Sure, it's right on the, right on the river.
Make all the
vantage.
Part of the whole,
scenic vantage, Washington.
Yes. And then there's Davenport, which is just a wonderful little town.
I have one of those in my living room.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I have fond memories of Davenport. When I was a kid, my parents, for whatever reason, decided it was Thanksgiving, and Dad said, we're going to go for a trip.
Ah.
And we headed out. We went over the pass, got to, we were from Ferndale, and we headed out, got over.
So you went over 20.
Yes. And we came down. We stopped at Davenport. There was snow on the ground.
Yes.
And I still, in my mind.
And it's July.
No, this is Thanksgiving. We pulled in to this little.
You were, Thanksgiving, you were lucky to get over the little 20.
Yeah, and whatever road, I don't, well whatever to get to Davenport.
Would have been North Cascades.
Yeah, and so we got across, we got to Davenport, we pulled into this little hotel, and I just remember the light came out across the snow, just like a picturesque painting. And, fond memories, and we stayed there that night, and then we came back the next day. I don't know why my dad decided to do that, but it was just.
Well, because it's a beautiful drive.
And it was something that we never did. My dad did those kind of things.
If you're from out of the area and you want to take a really, really scenic drive through the North Cascades Highway, the North Cascades in general, it's gorgeous. It's alpine wonderland.
And even in the winter, because then you're seeing it in the winter with
but
all the snow.
You don't get over you don't get over 20 after about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It snowed in. So you do it in the
spring. That was back in
the
day
spring.
with a you know, rear-wheel drive, Mercury.
You can't even get past there after about, well, December. It's closed now.
Right.
It's not going to be open until March.
Anyways, these kind of things just take me back sometimes and to warm places. And these stories from the old Carnap book that Dave puts on is such really good stuff.
They are amazing.
I love it.
Yep. Well, the weekly trivia question, you think it's coming up. We also got to hit it next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
One in seven Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
El Camino man.
Only Steve can understand. This is the fifth and final segment of our New Year's show. It's Around the Wheel. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about, but the most important thing, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing is our trivia question from last week, wherein we asked, where and when was the world's very first drive-in movie? Where was it? What time? Steve was pretty convinced that he was not only aware of it, but was there. He was not. Neither was I.
I think it was in the 30s, wasn't it?
It was. It was 1933 in Camden, New Jersey.
Isn't that amazing? 33.
Well, if you think about 33, I mean, let's face it, you know, during those years, there were a lot more cars and industry and everything else in the East than there was in the West. You know, we got, you know, California and everything. You know, we had, it was the car culture that kind of started out here. But all that kind of stuff was really mostly happening in the East. And so Camden, New Jersey had the very first drive-in movie. It doesn't have a picture of what the movie was, but it did say, drive-in theater, sit in your car, see and hear movies. Are you ready for what it cost?
25 cents?
25 cents.
Wow.
25
and
cents.
I'll bet you 10 to 1 they serve beer.
In New Jersey? Of course they did. Are you kidding me? of course they did.
You know they did.
Of course.
Back in the 30s?
Every moment.
You know, when we were in high school,
in the 30s,
if my
in
kids the, are listening.
Yeah, in the 30s, that, they might have served
hard liquor.
Well, maybe. It was Prohibition.
Yeah. No, when did Prohibition?
Well, yeah, yeah, it would have been, it would have been 31. Yeah, that's right.
So, but that was the thing that we did is we would get a six pack, four of us guys, pile into the car, go to the drive-in movie. And I mean, I remember watching, you know, that's where I watched The Exorcist and I watched the Omen and a lot of Japanese martial arts movies.
I saw It and The Thing, both in drive-in movies.
Yes.
We couldn't get out of there fast enough. Those were scary movies back then.
They were. I mean, I remember watching E.T. in the 80s.
Do you know, by the way, here's a trivia question that has nothing to do with anything except movies since you brought it up.
Right.
The original movie, The Thing, not the Kurt Russell version, but the original one.
Yep.
So The Thing turned out to be a giant alien carrot, right? You know who played The Thing?
No.
You're never going to get this. James Arness.
Oh, that's right.
James Arness. Okay. Peter, you know.
Am I correct to think
brother,
that
Gunsmoke,
okay, who played the original creature in the Creature of the Black Lagoon?
Oh, I don't know that one. I don't know that one.
I heard it was Clint Eastwood, but I don't think it
no,
was.
No, that would have been before. He was young then. He would have been.
Well, he
14.
Started. No, Clint Eastwood started out as he was in Francis, the Talking Mule.
Yeah, and then he finally got regular on Rawhide.
Rawhide.
Yeah,
which was in the early.
It would have been
60s.
About then. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know, but I know that James Arness was the thing, and it just always made me laugh to think of him in
was
a
that
giant,
where they were?
Giant carrot suit. It was the Frozen was, in the Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another thing, I think it was called It or something, and it was like
yeah, it.
You climbed up, and they came up over this crest. They climbed up, and there was a head sitting there. And my friend and I, at my 40th reunion, we were talking about, he goes, what was that movie? I cannot remember the movie. The one that we're watching at your house, it was sci-fi theater. And I go, you came up over the thing, and there was the head there, and it was all frozen. He goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, I had nightmares with that one forever. I mean, we were young, you know, and
yeah.
It's like there's certain movies. Oh, and the other one that gave me nightmares, the original Fly.
Oh, the Fly, yeah.
Oh, my God, that just scared the...
That was scary.
Help me.
Oh, horrible. Crap.
It was horrible.
Well,
in honor of New Year's Day, and since everybody's got lots of other things to do between now and the first of, it is New Year's Day, but we are going to not have a trivia contest or trivia question today, but that's okay. On our first show of the year, we're going to start with a brand new one. So that is how we're going to get out of this year. I hope your 2018 was great, 2019 a win. Thanks for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by in 2019 for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Help me! Help me!
Help me! Help me! Help me! Help me.